It's time for Bleed Tech Blue Radio, sponsored by Trenton Interiors. This is your source for Louisiana Tech sports news. For the next 90 minutes, Bleed Tech Blue Radio goes deep inside Tech football, basketball, and recruiting. Tonight's show on ESPN 97.7 is also brought to you by your 26 area local State Farm agents, Brister's Smokehouse, National Jewelry, Pierce Service Company, Brennan Dodge, Dairy Queen, and Gary Stokely, Keller Williams Realty, as well as hotline sponsor Fairway Cards. Now here's your host for Bleed Tech Blue Radio, Jonathan Ford.
Welcome into Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7. A guy with a familiar last name from the sponsor list, Chris Brister, joining me this week as my guest co-host. No, he's no stranger to the radio waves. Spent some time with Learfield Sports at Louisiana Tech. You spent a few minutes on the radio.
Coming out of retirement.
Coming out of retirement for Bleed Tech Blue Radio. How about them apples?
Football season will put a little pep in your step, and you'll do some things you haven't done in a while.
And that would be radio.
That's one
for Chris Brister. Well, game week is upon us. It has been a long time coming, although I feel like the summer flew by. Southern University comes to Ruston for a 6 p.m. kick inside the Joe.
A lot of excitement building up for this game. You come off a big season, kind of an unexpected bowl win over a P5 team. You get to see a new quarterback in Jeff Driscoll and see what he can offer coming from the University of Florida. And then you get to see a new building, something that we've anticipated as Tech fans for, 7 years now?
Just call it forever.
Yeah.
I mean,
but it's here.
There's some of the older timers would say that they've been hearing about this building for decades.
Well, it's here, and everybody's going to be in for a treat on Saturday, that's for sure.
Of course, Southern is known for a big following. We've heard upwards of 200, maybe more, RV requests.
That's what 250 was reported earlier.
From Jaguar fans?
Yeah.
That could get crazy.
I know they're bringing their full band of 300.
As a former band nerd, I'm looking forward to that.
It's going to be exciting. You know, Southern, year in, year out, has one of the better bands in the country. And to get to see them in our home stadium is going to be a treat. It's going to be a halftime treat.
And then I asked Marco Bourne, Associate Athletic Director for External Affairs for Louisiana Tech, about ticket availability. It's going to be a huge crowd. He said that tickets are still available, getting short on general admissions tickets, but reserves tickets are available. And that he feels like they're a lot further ahead than Northwestern State last year. And Northwestern State was a huge crowd.
I'm glad I'm a season ticket holder, so I don't have to worry about finding tickets.
If you don't have tickets, you need to acquire some quickly.
You better find them. You better call the ticket office ASAP, because they will be gone. And if you want to get some decent seats, you need to go ahead and make the call.
And typically around Louisiana Tech, you can come up every game. I mean, 90% of Tech football games, you walk up day of the game and you can get some tickets and get some good seats. Today, or I should say Saturday, will not be one of those cases.
No, because normally you wouldn't have a team like Southern bringing in as many fans as what they'll bring. They could bring, I would venture to say, probably 10,000 people to the game. I would say that's a pretty accurate number, where most of your out-of-conference schools are not going to bring and not going to travel that well. So, therefore, there just aren't that many seats.
You really think they could be upwards of 10,000 Southern fans?
I would think so.
I wasn't thinking that big. And while we're on it, we'll talk about attendance predictions. I'm going to go 6,000 Southern fans, and we'll call it, what is it, seat 28 now?
So it's just over 28, like 28-1.
We'll call it 6,000 Southern fans of 21,000 Tech / Grambling fans. There's going to be Grambling fans that show up to see Tech beat Southern.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wait, the cat's out of the bag. I think Tech beat Southern.
Let's hope so.
That's a long limb, wasn't it?
No, not at all.
What do you think?
What 2 years ago, we had a chance to go to the Orange Bowl with Utah State. We had 25 and a half. I say we have 26. I say we have more than that. It's 26. 26.5 is about what I think will be there. say, call it 8,000 Southern fans.
It's pretty dang good crowd.
It's a good crowd. Should be some excitement. It's going to be loud.
And 300 of them will be in a brand spanking new building.
They have some pretty good seats. Those are some pretty good seats.
Friday, the media is going to have a walk through at the time of their ribbon cutting. I'm looking forward to that. I've walked through it twice, once officially, once unofficially. Or actually, there's one other unofficial, so I've actually been through it three times.
Yeah.
Hope they don't charge me with trespassing.
No, I think you're good.
Probably. Yeah.
Now I walked through it on Thursday, and it's phenomenal. It really is a game changer for a university like ours. You know, I was one that was a little skeptical of an end zone seat, but that view is—it's just you'll be able to see everything that's happening on the field.
I of course, film the games from the sidelines, and I don't want to be on the sidelines. I want to be in the end zone because you see the game unfold, the game within the game, as Chip Kelly said yesterday in a clip that I saw.
You can take any fan, put them in those, and they can pick out formations, pick out routes that are going to be open, they see holes that open up.
And they understand the game of football more.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So it's going to be a heck of an experience. I'm hoping to maybe bow out of media duty someday if somebody wants to allow me to sit in one of their seats. I would forego media duties for a game to sit in those seats. I'm just being honest.
Well, I wouldn't blame you.
So anybody that's willing to offer, I'm a willing and able to take.
I'm going to tell you from a different perspective. The one thing that impressed me more than anything that really doesn't have anything to do with game day, the kitchen in this thing. Are you kidding me? It is a state-of-the-art kitchen that is in this building, and it's phenomenal. I could have spent all day in there.
When I walked in, I mean, you realize whenever you're walking through it where the wall is for the kitchen, you're like, yeah, I'm maybe, let's call it three-quarters of the way through the top floor. It can't be all kitchen, but certainly.
They could cook for the President of the United States in this kitchen. It is equipped with every piece of high-tech industrial equipment that you could ask for.
It's got the biggest mixer I think I've ever seen in my life.
Huge. Yeah.
Well, enough about the kitchen. You know a thing or two about kitchens since you do own a restaurant. But one thing to talk about, we'll begin this discussion now and maybe even into the next segment if you want to chime in on this topic on the Fairway Carts of Minden hotline, 888-993-7762. But Louisiana Tech will no longer be outfitted by Nike after this season. Western Kentucky signed an extension with Russell Athletic. Yeah, this week it was announced. This week, I think a 5-year, $3.6 million deal. That's a big deal for universities.
It's a pure business decision, and it has to be.
Because Tech doesn't get a dime from Nike,
not a penny. And how much is that going to save or give us a year that we can do other things with? That we can go off after better facilities. That we can go after. It just frees up the budget so much instead of having to pay for those uniforms.
To put it in perspective, I've been told that Tech spends upwards of $100,000 a season on football alone, in uniforms, equipment, shoes, footballs, you name it. That just you get a deal like that, and we'll talk about the companies that are involved after the break. But you get a break, you get a contract like that from an apparel provider. There's $100,000 you've just freed up from your budget.
Yeah,
and that's not chump change.
Now, I think we need to clear one thing up too, because it's, and I've heard a lot of different opinions on this. Let's say they sign a contract with Adidas and it's $3.6 million, and that's just a complete made up figure. That's not Adidas paying Tech $3.6 million over 5 years. That's $3.6 million in apparel that we can.
I believe. Okay. I haven't. Nobody's told me that, but I can't. I don't think that Adidas. Or Nike, if in the Power Five, then Nike's king. Nike's not cutting them a check for $1 million every year. They're giving them $1 million of credit, retail credit. That's not their cost,
right?
Towards apparel, gear, whatever. Which, and then one thing that really frees up is if you go with the numbers of, let's call it $500,000, about $500,000 a year, you're not going to spend that in all your sports. So now you've got some room to buy apparel for giveaways. And it's, again, not coming off the bottom line. So you've freed up $500,000 for your athletic budget. And for a place like Louisiana Tech, any G5 is a big deal.
That you can't tell. There's not any athletic director in the country that says, here's an extra $500,000 that we found.
I mean, there was Tech fans who laughed at Southern Miss whenever they signed their contract with Russell Athletic. Look, who cares about Russell Athletic? Well, it freed up $500,000 a year in their budget.
Is it flashy? Is it Nike? No. But does it do a lot more than just having flash on the field? Absolutely.
And in recruiting, it does matter. What brand name's on your uniform, it does matter. But it doesn't matter that much to ignore saving $500,000 a year.
Absolutely not. No.
So who would you prefer? If it's not Nike, who would you prefer? You're a golfer. You know athletic apparel. Who would you prefer?
You know, that debate's kind of Under Armour, Adidas. You know, you kind of throw those two out there.
But Under Armour is a brand in football that pays little attention to the G5. I mean, I think I saw a list one day this week when I was preparing for the show. I think Toledo's one that's got Under Armour. That's a group of five, but there's not many.
It's hard to call any of these apparel companies conservative anymore. And I would call Louisiana Tech's uniform
traditional.
But I think if you were to look at either of the two companies, Adidas or Under Armour, I feel that Adidas probably is in line with our core values a little bit more than what Under Armour is. You look at the Marylands of the world, and they try to keep up with the Oregons of the world. And that's Maryland is kind of Under Armour's baby, as is Nike with Oregon.
Yeah, because the founder of Under Armour is a former Maryland football player.
That's right. Adidas does have some flashy uniforms, but I can't think of any football uniforms offhand that are just wild.
One place that the Under Armour is that they have kept some tradition, because if you don't keep tradition here, it doesn't work, is Notre Dame. They've gone to Under Armour, I believe this year is their first year.
Under Armour also has Auburn.
And Auburn's pretty
Auburn
traditional.
Is pretty much stayed.
Because the stripes on the shoulder pads are not going anywhere. That is Louisiana Tech. So you look at Auburn's got the stripes on the shoulder pads, and then you look at Adidas, somebody that's got stripes on the shoulder pads, UCLA.
Mm-hmm.
Some people even call them the UCLA stripes. So the UCLA stripes or the Tech stripes aren't going anywhere.
I guess the only kind of plus I would say on Adidas would be the shoes. I feel like Adidas has a far better game when it comes to shoes.
Yeah, the Under Armour isn't great on the athletic shoes, and then you talk about Russell. Russell didn't have shoes.
Right.
So if you get a Russell contract, you're still spending money on footwear. So that doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
Well, take this break. Other side of the break, we'll talk about the companies that are involved for Louisiana Tech. But first, be sure to go visit Brister's Smokehouse. I know a guy that's sitting right next to me that knows a few things about it.
I've eaten it once or twice.
Once or twice. Go have a scatolo. My favorite is the half chicken, smoked half chicken. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7. I'm Jay Ford, publisher of BleedTechBlue.com and host of Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Guest host this week, Chris Brister. I'm Brister Smokehouse. We were talking about the apparel contracts that are out for proposal for Louisiana Tech right now. The state of Louisiana, from what I understand, is going over those contracts right now to see if there's any verbiage wrong. They're legal folks. But Chris, what I understand is the two companies that are in the mix are Under Armour and Adidas.
Do you think our women's basketball team will have any I know they've been with Under Armour the last 4 or 5 years. I think when Teresa was coaching, she helped bring them as the official.
Darren Park, I think, was spearhead of that. So yeah. I think he and somebody at Under Armour are buddies.
I just didn't know if that would have any play in the matter.
You would think. But it also will be an all sports deal. Right now, Tech is very divided when it comes to athletic wear. I mean, every sport is almost different. I mean, it's not completely that way because there's not that many companies. But men's basketball and football are Nike. Women's basketball is Under Armour. Baseball was Adidas this past year. Is that right?
They went all Adidas this year. Even their bats were Adidas.
So that's going to change. They will all be the same.
I think either way, the best thing that comes of it is football is able to change their footballs up. They're able to use the best football on the market. They'll be able to start using.
There's no doubt that's probably the best news. And really, Tech is okay this year as far as footballs go, and it's because of a guy named Jeff Driscoll. A year ago, Tech is using – I can't keep the – both of them have a vapor, I think, in the name. I can't remember which one's which. But they have a group of five football, and then they've got a Power Five football, or actually the Power Fives and the academies.
Which is quite – how can you have two different footballs? Wouldn't you think the NCAA would – I mean, I guess we're getting in a little Tom Brady deflate gate here talking about the footballs. But wouldn't you think there would be one regulation football for all games?
You know, and Chris, what's even stranger is that the ball is a different size from brand to brand. It's not even like one's fatter in the middle, one's skinnier in the middle. The NCAA, whenever they stick their nose in places that we wonder, what in the world are you doing? And then in places where you have regulations, you could have regulations, there's nothing. It's mind-blowing.
Yeah. it just seems like you would have one football.
But Tech will be using the Power 5 football this
right.
year. The group of five football, people are like, what are they talking about footballs for? But it actually is a big deal. The group of five football for Tech, they receive it with the air in it. They would deflate the ball. We're talking about Deflategate. They would deflate the ball and scrub on it to make the leather more grippy. Well, with the Power 5 football, that's no longer even an issue. It comes out of the package, ready to be used. So it's a big deal that Tech's got a different football. But whenever the apparel contract does change, Adidas nor Under Armour require you to use their footballs. They both make one. But with that being said, Tech would be buying Wilson GST footballs, which is considered the best football on the market. So that's probably the best news of all. In the upside of Under Armour is that Tech would be the only school in the state of Louisiana with Under Armour.
I would like that. I think a lot of fans would like that.
The downside of Under Armour is their footwear is not as good as Adidas. And you're wearing Under Armour shoes today.
Look, they're gonna be there with footwear. They're not gonna make a subpar performing shoe. There's no way that's going to happen. They're too great of a company.
And even if you've got to change them more often, you've got the money now to change cleats more often. So it's just part of the game. And Adidas has been there, done that.
Yes, it is.
And you can't go wrong with Adidas, but they're not the flash that Under Armour is.
I would say over the last 2 or 3 years, Under Armour has really crept up, and they've challenged Nike to be the dominant apparel company in most sports.
Yeah, the Nike's going to continue to dominate because of their contracts. And they've got the NFL. They've got the majority of Power 5 football. But let's go to the Fairway Carts of Minden hotline on line one. What's going on, my man? Or Morgan, what's going on? Morgan? Well, why don't we get Morgan back? We'll keep talking about the contracts. It is a big deal.
It's a huge deal. Look, people can argue all day long that apparel doesn't matter to recruits. But it does. You look at the face of these recruits when they get different jerseys or even the different helmets that we were able to offer this past year. It is a huge deal in the mind of an 18-year-old. And I'm a 30-year-old, and I love having options. I love to see Tech come out with something that's an alternative shirt.
So I don't even need to ask if you're a fan of Oregon's options.
Love them.
I do too.
I absolutely love them. Now they get a little crazy at times, but take a chance. It doesn't always have to be traditional. That may rub some people the wrong way, but I think Tech, Louisiana Tech, has some of the best-looking uniforms in the country. I honestly do. I think we have one of the best logos in the country. But the colors are just so beautiful that you can do so many different things with them.
America.
It's America. but we, I love the traditional uniform, and I think that's your main game day uniform. But mix it up a little bit now and then.
What do you think of this? The primary helmet this year for Louisiana Tech will be white and not red. Yeah. Are you okay with that?
Yeah, I'm completely fine with that. I think the white helmet's beautiful, and I think it goes with all uniform combinations.
I think we've got Morgan back on the Fairway Carts of Minden Hotline. What's going on, Morgan?
Hey, thanks, guys. Happy to be in on this one. This is actually what I do for a living, and I sell sporting goods to schools.
Look at you. Awesome. Perfect.
I'm a team sports dealer, and very familiar with all of the terminology, the verbiage of these contracts. This is something that happens on a regular basis. I'm actually specifically Under Armour and Nike footwear and apparel. I don't deal with Adidas or Russell. I have in the past, as recently as a year or so ago. Those were two of my better accounts, but now in bed with Nike and Under Armour, and it's interesting. That's why I thought it was an interesting topic for me. As far as footwear goes, Under Armour is a younger company than Adidas and Nike footwear. I think they're about 8 or 9 years in the game. But last year, they actually created the best shoe on the market in the basketball sphere, whereas we had Nike and Adidas just tearing up. Under Armour delivered a superior last year. Every year, though, it seems like somebody's going to have a bad batch or something come off the line, just from the business side of it. They're all, I hate to talk good about it, but they're all, you know, in the game. So for a guy
that's on the ground every day, do you have a favorite? I don't want you to alienate any of your customers, but do you have a favorite between Nike and Under Armour?
You know what it all goes back to, believe it or not, a lot of it goes back to your relationship with the guy that works at that place. If he's a guy that's hustling for you and he's making it happen, let's say Louisiana Tech football orders, you know, 200 pair of cleats, okay? And they got a big roster, and they have some up in inventory. And they need those by the start of spring football. And it's December where they've already manufactured all the cleats they're going to make for the entire year, in January of that year. So when they hit the shelves and whatever date that is, when they run out, sometimes inventory can be very spotty. But the same thing, we got to have these by spring football. Who's the guy that's going to really hustle to make that happen? Now, a school like Tech, a school that maybe a larger school, I've been on the high school side a lot, not so much on the university side because these guys go direct from Nike.
Sure.
But still, I have a Nike rep that works on my behalf, and we work together. I go get the orders, I place the orders, but I have to communicate because these companies are models, they're giants. And you think you have problems and you make $30,000 a year, imagine being a $20 billion company. It magnifies those problems. There's problems, and then you got to have somebody that you can call and work for and very fall back on. So that probably doesn't answer your question as to what brand. At the end of the day, it's a lot of time, it's who they signed the deal. A lot of times, Under Armour has Steph Curry right now. That's a big seller because he won the MVP and the Finals MVP. And a lot of people have been Nike, he's a little bit, Brandon Ross or whatever, for 20 years, all of a sudden they want Under Armour this year.
Yeah.
They never won an Under Armour shoe in their life, but they want it now.
Sure, absolutely. Well, Morgan, you really gave a really good perspective on the deal with BG. You're on the ground every day with this kind of stuff, so we really appreciate the phone call.
Yeah,
Thanks, Morgan. Morgan, join us on the Fairway Carts of Minden Hotline, 888-993-7762. You can, too. You can chime in on the apparel discussion. I thought this it might strike a chord with some people. You talk about threads, and it's always gonna be something somebody wants to talk about.
Well, it's a polarizing topic. You've got two sides of the story. You've got some people that don't want to see. You've got the Penn States, the Alabamas of the world, and then you've got the Oregons and the Marylands of the world. You've got some people that want to see it. They truly believe that it's a game changer. And then you got some that think, well, we don't have to change our uniform because that's gonna, you know, we are who we are and we don't have to be anybody else. So there's two different sides to it.
At 6:30, we're gonna have Les East from The Advocate joining us, talking a little Southern University Jaguar football. A little interesting tune here that John has chosen. We can always count on John to keep us on our toes when it comes to some tunes. Thanks to our 26 area local State Farm agents for making Bleed Tech Blues possible, and also Gary Stokely, Keller Williams Realty. A tech legend, that Gary Stokely.
The Gary Stokely.
He really needs to have a THE in front of Gary Stokely.
If he was in England, he would be Sir.
He
would be.
And if you're polite, he's still Sir.
Yeah. Well, the actual knighted Sir.
We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio here on ESPN Radio 97.7. I'm Jay Ford, publisher of BleedTechBlue.com and host of Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Guest co-host this week, Chris Brister. Appreciate him joining me this week. Let's go to the Fairway Carts of Minden hotline and talk to our friend Les East over at The Advocate. Real fast, Les, I forgot to mention our title sponsor. I'm failing as a radio host. Trenton Interiors in downtown Ruston is our title sponsor. Go visit those guys for all of your interior decorating needs. They got countertops, they got everything. Go check them out right in downtown Ruston. Les, what's going on, my man?
Hey guys, how y'all doing?
Doing wonderful.
It's football season.
There's nothing to complain about, is there?
No, it's here and we're raring to go.
Well, Les, I know that Southern's got a couple of APR issues going on, or they did, and they were unable to practice in the spring because of an NCAA sanction. Do you think that will affect Southern in Game 1?
Probably. I don't think there'll be tangible evidence of it. I don't think you can point to a specific breakdown and say that's because they didn't go through spring. But I think any football coach will tell you that not having 15 full squad workouts in the spring to try and develop guys, especially those that are going to be moving into bigger roles the following season, doesn't hurt. So I don't think there's any question that it hurts them, and there's no way to make up for that lost time. But I don't know that you'll be able to pinpoint exactly where it affects them.
You know, there's talk around Southern's skill position players that they've got a lot of talent at those skill position players. But what about in the trenches? About the offensive line returns a lot of starters, and then the defensive line's got some bigger fellas. How do you see those two groups shaping up?
Well, I think they're in pretty good shape there. I think probably they're going to face a bigger and deeper lines on both sides of the ball on Saturday than they will at most of their conference games. But nonetheless, their offensive line, they lost two starters from last year, but they got back Anthony Mosley, who missed last season because of academics, and then he's an all-SWAC first-team player. So that makes a big difference. They've been developing depth there. The line has played at a pretty high level the last couple of years. Despite a lot of changes in seasons, I think you can probably count on the offensive line playing well. The defensive line is going to be a little bit undersized. They have some experience there. I don't know that the defensive line at this point is prepared to perform as well as the offensive line, but they do have Gabe Eccles at the nose guard, who's a second team preseason all SWAC. He's a senior. And then they have Daniel Brown on the outside, who's actually a linebacker, but in that three-man front, he rushes the passer quite a bit and plays sort of like a stand-up end. So those are two guys that I think will be leaders on the defense. But the defense, I think, as a whole, is probably a little bit more of a question mark than the offense at this point.
Well, when you talk about FCS and FBS matchups, it is normally the depth that comes out and is normally the deciding factor. What's another matchup to watch for that you think the Jaguars may have a little bit of an edge in?
Well, and I was reading the transcript from Coach Holtz's news conference yesterday, and obviously Willie Quinn has gotten his attention, the wide receiver and return specialist, who's really a dynamic player, even though he's only 5'5". He makes an inordinate number of big plays, both on offense and in the kicking game, and he's a guy I think is capable of making a big scoring play from anywhere on the field, both on special teams and on offense. So I think if he can break loose and make a couple of big plays, that's one thing that would give Southern a big boost. And then they have an awful lot of depth at wide receiver. They have five or six guys they can really count on. So with all of those weapons out there, they have a better chance of somebody shaking free. So I think big plays in the passing game or the return game would be a possibility for them to make some big plays.
And to go back to one of your earlier comments about the defense being a bigger question mark than the offense, what is it about the defense? You said lack of depth and some experience on the defensive line, but what else on the defense that gives them that question mark?
Well, they have some inexperience in the secondary. I think that's the biggest question on the defense right now. We found out today that Raheem Ledbetter, who was scheduled to be the starting nickelback, he's a senior. He's academically ineligible. They're hoping he gets reinstated at some point, but they're expecting that he will not play on Saturday. So he was one of the returning starters they have. So now that they usually play a nickel defense, they start five DBs. They'll only have two returning starters from last year in that unit on Saturday night. And the guys who are replacing them, even though Jamal Jenkins, who's going to replace Ledbetter, is a senior, he's mostly been a special teams guy. He's not played a lot in the secondary. And then when you go to the second unit, you have a lot of true freshmen. So inexperience in the secondary is definitely a question mark.
Well, then when you look at Louisiana Tech, they've got some playmakers on offense. If Tech's able to get out to a big lead in the first quarter, will that be something that Southern won't handle very well?
Well, that's a good question. I guess there are a couple of ways of looking at that. This is the fourth straight year Southern has opened up on the road against an FBS team, and the other three have all eventually become blowouts, at New Mexico, then at Houston 2 years ago, and at UL Lafayette last year. And in each of those games, they got off to a fairly good start, and the game was competitive into the second quarter, and then something bad happened, and it just opened up an avalanche, and the games got out of control. So given that track record, it wouldn't be surprising if they had trouble bouncing back from a bad start or a big hole early on. But the one caveat to that is that with Austin Howard, the sophomore quarterback who was freshman of the year in the SWAC last year, he's very capable of making some big plays with all of those wide receivers. So they have the offensive tools to make a comeback if they have to. But I think psychologically, if they were to get into a big hole in a situation they've experienced on the road before in these openers, that would probably be the biggest challenge for them, would be trying to come back mentally more so than physically.
And Louisiana Tech returns a lot of big numbers in their secondary. Do you think that they will try to challenge the Tech secondary through the air?
Yeah, I think they will. They were a much better balanced offense last year than they've been in the past, so they can run the ball pretty well. Lenard Tillery was their first 1,000-yard rusher in ten years last season. So they like to be balanced, and they can set up the pass with the run better than they used to. But they have a lot of confidence in Howard and in his receivers, and so I think they feel comfortable challenging anybody on their schedule with the receivers they have. But like anybody else, they're going to hope that they're able to challenge them in situations where they don't have to throw and can kind of choose their spots because they're able to be balanced on offense.
Offensively for Louisiana Tech, what part of them with Jeff Driscoll, with Kenneth Dixon running, is your biggest concern for the Jaguar defense to handle?
Well, you know, I think one thing that, you know, Southern's a little concerned about is that because they haven't seen Driscoll in Tech's offense, they don't know exactly what they're going to do. Like everybody else, I think they're expecting that there'll probably be a little bit more of a run element from the quarterback with him in there, but they're not quite sure what they're going to get there. But I think it's all got to start with Dixon. Coach Odoms has spoken very highly of him, called him one of the best running backs in the country, and with his ability to catch the ball out of the backfield, in addition to being the career rushing leader over there, I think that their primary concern would be trying to find a way to contain him early and then try and put a little more pressure on Driscoll. So I think it would all start with Dixon.
Well, Les, I really appreciate you joining us here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio tonight on ESPN Radio 97.7. You making the trip northward Saturday?
Absolutely. We'll be there and looking forward to kicking the season off.
All right, Les, I really appreciate it again.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Les. Les East from the Baton Rouge Advocate. You got to say Baton Rouge these days and say, now I got a New Orleans paper. The Baton Rouge Advocate joining us here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio, talking a little Southern Jaguar football. The man knows his stuff.
He's good.
I would venture to say there's nobody on the beat, since that's the kind of the word that you use, that knows Southern Jaguar football like Les East does. That was impressive.
You know, he brought up a good point with who Southern has started their seasons off with in the past 3 or 4 years, and how they've kind of got behind the eight ball right off the bat, and how this team might respond. It's going to be interesting because, you know, we've got some players in position that we haven't seen. Driscoll, if we can get out to that big lead, which I know Tech is hoping that they do, and then how Southern can respond to it. It's going to be interesting to see how, you know, if they can make the adjustments to keep up with the Bulldogs.
The matchup I find interesting, and we'll talk more about this after the break, but I just want to tease it, the good old radio term, is the interior of their offensive line. Les said that they're experienced, but
there's a big size disadvantage.
There's a big size difference. I really appreciate our sponsors for Bleed Tech Blue Radio this season. Brennan Dodge and Dairy Queen, couldn't do it without them. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7. John Tabor's always keeping it interesting. I really do enjoy his music choices.
I could stay here all night if my wife would get mad.
And your kids might get mad.
Well, they'll be asleep.
Then your wife would get mad.
Yeah.
Chris Brister, guest co-host with me today. Really appreciate him joining us. Like I was talking about earlier, the matchup for Tech versus their offense. Their offense is pretty good. There's no denying that. They haven't fared well against the FBS, like Les was saying. They've been very good in the SWAC. But the place that I find it interesting is Tech's defensive line. The ones are pretty stinking good.
Right.
Vernon Butler, if the NFL draft had multiple rounds on the first day, he's a first-day draft pick.
Absolutely. No question.
And if he has a really good senior year, I think he could sneak into the first round. I think he's that good. I think he's probably the highest draft pick on Tech's roster.
He is he is impressive to watch. Now, we've been watching him against our team, but I think we're going to be in for a treat once we get to see him line up Saturday.
So you look at the left guard, the center, and the right guard for Southern. Jamal Bolden, the left guard, 6'2", 270, redshirt junior. The center, Terrell Lee, 6'3", 300, a redshirt junior. Anthony Mosley, the guy that he was referring to that missed last year with academics, 6'2", 282, another redshirt junior. That's not a lot of size.
I mean, we outweigh him on the defensive line. We outweigh
Tech's starting defensive tackles will be Cedric Johnson, a redshirt freshman at 6'2", 305, I think is what he's listed at, and had major offers early in his recruiting process. He had an Oklahoma offer.
The issue for Southern is if they can't stop our penetration in the front four, it's going to be a long day. It is going to be an absolutely long day. If they can find a way to stop and hold some of that pressure off,
slow it down,
they could probably have some success. But if they're not able to stop our front four, it has potential to be a very long day for their quarterback.
And the other deep tackle is that Vernon Butler guy.
Yeah,
he will embarrass some Tech offensive linemen at practice. For the last week, I don't think he's practiced probably because there's what do you need to see out of him. You know what he's going to do. He's going to perform. At 6'3", 312, I think is what he's listed at. And the man can run like a deer at 312 pounds. That's probably a big matchup for me to watch. The left tackle, Reginald Redding at 6'4", 300, will be going against Canty, who's I think he's up to close to 270. And Vontarius Doors up close to 270. The defensive line for Tech has gotten pretty stout, especially with the ones. There's some question marks with the twos. I don't think anybody would disagree with that. The key is if Tech comes out with that lead and wants to start sitting some folks, is how does the second line of defense on the defensive line, how do they fare?
Well, and that's what's great about having the fall, because I think Skip praised a lot of the younger guys, and he got to see a lot out of them. They really progress well over the summer and then the fall. And then you get a game like a Southern, and a big difference. We started out with Oklahoma last year. If our starting lineup comes out and performs the way you hope they would, the way you expect them to, it gives those younger guys some opportunity to get some game experience that you can't emulate in practice. And then you start building once you get into conference. I know our first conference game is 6 days away or 5 days away from our opening game, and it is a big test. But you can't emulate game experience like you can have this first game if our starters come out and perform the way that they're expected to.
And at risk of sounding like John Madden, I'm going to go ahead and say what I'm about to anyway. I think the key early for Tech is three and outs, is getting the ball back in Driscoll's hands and Kenneth Dixon's
getting
hands.
Getting it in our offensive hands. And getting some points on the board.
The atmosphere is going to be rocking.
If you can score early and often, I think you're going to give those younger guys opportunity to play some significant minutes.
And then even with the two, we go back to the defensive line, even with the twos on the defensive line, there's a guy named Tyler Porter who just might weigh 350 pounds.
He's a big fella.
And he's about 5'10 by 5'10. He's hard to move.
You're not going to move him. You're definitely not going to run through him. You might get lost. I know Quinn for Southern's 5'5". He might disappear.
Do you remember the game last season? There was a stripped football, and Tyler Porter saw the football and belly flopped on the football.
I remember it. He Pete Rose'd on it.
I was not sure if the ball was going to come back inflated or deflated.
You talk about Deflategate.
Talk about it. That was funny. I think I've got that clip somewhere on my computer that sometimes I go back to it. I just play it over and over and have a good laugh. But Tech will be okay Saturday. I mean, that's the long and short. If they don't, Tech's got some bigger issues than this season, and they don't deserve the hype that they're receiving.
You know, I've looked at it a lot of different ways, and I don't like to be the guy that says you're going to win the game, but on paper, how does Tech not win the game, and how do they not win it by a large amount? I think the worst thing that you could probably see is you come out and we're real sluggish, and then you actually have to play the starters deep into the fourth quarter, and then you come away with a 15-point win or so. I think that's probably worst case scenario where you don't get those backup significant minutes.
You know betting lines. I'm not trying to make you sound like you're a gambling alcoholic, but you like to watch betting lines.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I do too.
Yeah, well, you learn a lot about the game while watching them because Vegas is a good chance they're going
to
be right.
FBS, FCS games are tough to find a line.
You're not going
to
find them on your traditional sites.
Have you found one?
Yeah, I think I saw it around 30 points.
Okay.
Which I think that's pretty fair.
Well, it wouldn't be Bleed Tech Blue Radio if we didn't talk about MasseyRatings.com. I think Jason Jones gets a paycheck from them every month. And he may go to that website more than any other human being on the face of the earth. But here we are. MasseyRatings.com has Tech as the number 60 team in the country and Southern as the 279 team in the country.
So what does that equate to in point spread?
100% result of victory.
Agree.
Points for Tech, 49.
Mm-hmm.
Southern, 9.
So 40 points.
You said 40 in a text message to me this afternoon, and I thought you might have looked at this.
No. Mm-mm.
You sure your last name's not Massey?
No, it's Brister. I even named a smokehouse after it.
So on paper, this should be a cakewalk. But on paper last year, Northwestern State should have been a cakewalk.
Yeah, now, two different teams.
Very different teams.
Two different teams. It's different.
And different time of the season.
Yeah, and they had played earlier in the year, and I think Northwestern beat them by, 20 points, 20 points plus. So a little bit different program there. We got caught just coming off a big ULL win. And
beating North Texas like a drum. You thought they got the big head.
You know, you really didn't have high hopes for winning either one of those games on the road. And then you come back thinking, okay, first game in the Joe, Northwestern, we're going to win.
Wrong.
Got caught sleeping, which I think is great because you're going to have a team that's fired up and they're going to, you would hope they would know better at this point.
And some would say, well, you got an FCS team coming into the Joe Saturday. Are they going to get up for it? Well, it's the first game of the season. As Jeff Driscoll said in the press conference Monday, you got to be crazy not to get up for the first game of the season.
Well, this FCS team won 7 of their last 8 games. So it's not like this is a team that's incapable of winning games. So you can't sleep on any team. That's why we play the game, for the quote.
Thanks, Herm.
Yeah. But they're going to play. They've got a lot to prove. There's a lot of players you've got players that want to improve their draft stock. They want to pad their numbers. You've got a Driscoll who's coming in that wants
redemption
to put
story.
He wants to put up big numbers. He wants to prove that he is what everyone thought he was coming into his collegiate career. You've got a defense and a coordinator with a Blake Baker that's going to want to have that high tempo, high pressure. He's going to want to prove that his defense is ready, his scheme is ready. There's no reason for this team to be down. No reason to overlook this game. There's just too much.
And also, you've moved into a really nice facility this week.
They're going to be fired. There's going to be a huge crowd there. They're going to have a lot of fans to play in front of and to show out for. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be rocking. I'm ready to hear the sound system. I'm ready to see the new building. I'm ready to see this team run out for the first time out of that new building.
Since we both were internet folks, how many complaints about volume and music? Because the sound system's fixed. Last year, speaker was blown about halfway through the season. Or amp was blown.
The great news about the building and having the speakers fixed is you don't have to play the speakers at the volume that you had.
It's not escaping anymore.
That's right. You're gonna keep some of that sound. It's going to be a barrier. It's going to bounce off the building. And you don't have to play the speakers as loud to where you hear them across campus, to where you hear them across town.
I live close to downtown right after they put the I can't call it what Tech calls it because I think it's one of the worst names in the history of naming things. The video board. I'm going to call it the video board. You could hear it downtown crystal clear. crystal clear.
Well, I live across the interstate from Temple, back behind Jason Jones's place in Rustin Brick. And after the Northwestern State game, I sat on my back patio and listened to
fireworks.
Well, the final call, you know, I listened to the final score, and then I listened to the fireworks go off, and it was, but you could hear everything from the video board from my back porch.
And you're behind it.
And I am behind it. So that's how loud it is.
It's impressive. Let's take this break, and we thank our wonderful sponsors, Pierce Service Company and National Jewelry. National Jewelry has been a longtime sponsor of Bleed Tech Blue Radio. We couldn't do it without our great sponsors. This is Bleed Tech Blue Radio, ESPN Radio 97.7. We'll be back right after this.
A lot of nice girls. I'm ready.
Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by Trenton Interiors in downtown Ruston. They just had their ad play, and it was good stuff. The talented Linnea Allen on the read, wife of Teddy Allen. She's got to be one of the
better half of Teddy.
She's got to be one of the most patient women in Ruston.
What a fantastic couple, though.
They
unbelievable.
Are.
Unbelievable people.
They're one of the power couples. Rustin power couples.
Is there a Rustin power couple?
let's look at a little something different, Chris. Moving a little bit in our outline. The red shirts. Who got red shirts this season? And what red shirts from last season could be big contributors for Louisiana Tech? I did a pretty decent job. I tried to predict the red shirts on Sunday afternoon, sitting there watching the Saints and getting depressed because of how bad this season very well may be. I took a stab because I knew that this was coming out. I'm scrolling trying to find the thread on bleedtechblue.com. You look at some of the guys that came in. The offensive line is they brought in a ton of players. And O'Shea Dugas, I couldn't decide if he was going to get redshirted, but Coach Holtz said that he is not.
Yeah, offensive line is always one of those positions that you hope to get some size on guys and more experience.
When you're 6'6", 330, there's not a whole lot of room to grow.
Not size, but experience. No doubt experience on the offensive line.
So Devontae Lovett is a guy on a strong in the listening area. He will redshirt. Ethan Reed, an interior offensive lineman from down in the Orange, Texas area, he will redshirt. And Deontay McCready actually gray shirted last season and one of the rare gray shirts at Louisiana Tech, and he will play. And gray shirts, for those that are wondering what a gray shirt is, he enrolled at mid-year last year, participated in spring football, and was able to be counted towards the 2015 signing class. So he is one that will get some time on the interior of the offensive line along with O'Shea Dugas, probably arguably the most talented offensive lineman Tech signed in quite some time. The other ones that Tech will not redshirt, Courtney Wallace, the son of Courtney Wallace, and Neville High School product, the defensive tackle, who is really impressive. Jordan Bradford, another defensive tackle, this one out of St. Stanislaus in Bay St. Louis, Mississippi. He will not redshirt. Emmanuel Turner out of Magnolia, Arkansas, a defensive end. He will not redshirt. And then Ephraim Kitchen, a cornerback who is in the twos already as a true freshman, will not redshirt. So, it's good that the majority of this class is redshirting. And anytime you have the luxury to redshirt the majority of your class, it bodes well for the future.
It absolutely does. Absolutely. When you can have, you know, 5-year guys playing, the experience is second to none, especially in this level of football.
And you look at the redshirts that I expect to contribute, Shane Carpenter, who very well may start at right tackle. He was listed as the second stringer in the depth chart yesterday at the press conference, but Skip Holtz alluded on his radio show that Shane Carpenter very well may start at right tackle, a 6'6", another 300-pounder, out of Walker, Louisiana, in the Baton Rouge area. Cam McKnight, backup to Connor Smith at inside receiver out of East Feliciana High School. And Jay Ferguson, I think he's actually from West Feliciana High School, ironically enough. Defensive end, those are three redshirt freshmen that I see as contributing a pretty good deal for Louisiana Tech. And once again, the majority of your class last year is still gaining experience in practice, and you don't have to use them. That is a really good problem to have if you're Louisiana Tech. The probably one position that we haven't talked about a whole lot is our position group that we haven't talked a whole lot about is special teams. Coach Holtz was pretty blunt, to say the least, about the punting game yesterday in the press conference.
Very often you hear a coach at the first part of the season talk about how excited they are for the season and what it could be. And then in the press conference yesterday, the punting situation was brought up. I think he's pretty happy with
Jonathan Barnes,
with Barnes at kicking, and then Fisher with kickoff. Those seem to be solidified positions. And then the punting situation was brought up, which we all know our struggles last year in the punting department. And for me, that is a big deal. Obviously, we don't have a Ryan Allen on the team, but a few years ago, you could honestly make a case to say that Ryan Allen probably won us a few games, or at least off of his leg, put our defense in a position to be successful. And no matter how good our defense is, if they keep getting short field positions and have to come up with the turnovers just to keep the other team off the board, they can't continually have success, continued success there. You have to be able to flip the field position. Look, we're not going to get a first down on every possession. You know, we are going to have some three and outs this year. There's no doubt that's going to happen. You have to be able to flip the position, field position, for your defense to have continued success.
So I think we'll see both Logan McPherson and Gerald Schaus early in the season before somebody goes and grabs it. And they've been battling it since the spring.
You know, Schaus, he kicked in the bowl game, and he had some pretty good punts, you know, when he was able to just do a traditional drop back punt. And I think he averaged around 43 yards last year in the few kicks that he did get, where we average what 38 with McPherson, and that's just, you can't have that average on a yearly average.
You gotta
get more. You do, absolutely.
And Gerald, when he hits a good one,
he booms it. I think he hit one 58 yards last season.
But if he hits a bad one, it's pretty bad. Yeah. And that's the reason that McPherson's a little bit more steady. He doesn't kick it as far whenever he hits it good, but he's not as big of a guy. Schaus is a much bigger person than Logan McPherson is. So that comes into play when in the kicking game immensely. And that's one reason why Jonathan Barnes isn't the kickoff guy. He's not a big guy, but he's extremely accurate as a place kicker. And that's why Kyle Fisher is your kickoff specialist.
Yeah, and I've seen Barnes kick some in practice this year, and he does, and he's gotten stronger.
He does.
He has definitely gotten stronger. I think I saw him kick one from around 55 yards, and he had plenty of leg on it early in practice. So he has definitely gotten stronger, and I think he's only going to get more confidence the more kicks he gets. Look, let's be honest. I don't want to punt. I don't want to kick field goals. I want to score. So let's hope they both positions gain some confidence.
And we're talking about the kicking or the special teams. Jacquees Dancy out of Junction City is listed as the number two kick returner. That kid is a special player. To say he's fast is an understatement. He's got the ability to make people miss in the open field, and it's crazy. I really thought that Tech might redshirt him. He's a running back; that's his natural position, and I thought that he really may redshirt. But whenever you see him in practice and his ability, he doesn't run with a real low pad level, which is pretty common for a high school running back to run pretty upright, but he's getting lower as practice goes on. But I'm not surprised that he's not being redshirted. But I did think early on that he might. John, what's your biggest concern headed into the season for Louisiana Tech? Would it be special teams?
Not really. I think the unknown factor is what has a lot of people leery about special teams. I'm with Chris. I think that'll just kind of play itself out. You punch the ball in the end zone, that tends to become less and less of a problem. So, and I think the defense is probably ahead of the offense. Normally that's the case, especially with so many returners. And that will help in to benefit the special teams as the season progresses.
I would agree with that. I've been talking about it for 2 weeks now. Last week I felt like a broken record player the number of times that I said I was concerned about the cornerback position and the depth there. But I am very concerned with the cornerback depth. You get past Adarius Barnes and Bryson Abraham, and you've got true freshman Ephraim Kitchen and true sophomore Roland Dunn out there on the field. Lots of inexperience.
Do you think they'll see more than usual playing time in this first game?
Probably. You want them to.
You want them.
If they're not, things are not going well for Louisiana Tech.
I'm interested to see how our linebackers perform. In my opinion, they are undersized. They're light. I want to see how they come off of blocks and how they get through holes. I don't think they'll have trouble with it on a lot of passing teams because they'll be able to cover the field. But if we hit a run-heavy team, are they going to be able to come off of blocks? Are they going to be able to get past those 300-pound offensive linemen?
You know, that's a fair point. I watching practice, and you watch Michael Mims, who is, of course, a converted quarterback, high school quarterback to safety, from safety to linebacker. He is – I don't have a roster in front of me, but I would venture to say he's, let's call him 5'11", 200 pounds, 190.
I think most of the linebackers we looked at, our heaviest one was 234, but most of them were in that 210 range.
So, and Michael Mims looks like a safety. And when you watch him in practice, you're like, that guy's going to get manhandled, and he's not going to be able to make a tackle, but he is always around the ball. And the same can be said about Russell Ferris, who was playing middle linebacker at the beginning of the fall practice because of Nick Thomason missing spring practice after he's had surgery on his other shoulder. He's like the bionic man in his shoulders because he's had two shoulder surgeries. But it seems like Tech's linebackers have a knack for getting to the football and making plays. And that you're going to get equalized sometimes by a bigger offensive lineman, a more athletic offensive lineman, but I don't think that's this week.
No, I'm right there with you. I don't think this week, because I think they're going to be fast enough to get to the ball, and hopefully, you know, we're going to be making Southern put the ball in the air rather than later for them to have to be putting points on the board. So I think they're going to cover the field well there.
Somebody asked the question on Bleed Tech Blue on whether I expected Tech to be pretty vanilla Saturday. I think ideally they want to be, because like Les said, nobody has any film on Jeff Driscoll in Tech's offense.
You can only be so vanilla because you've got to get some plays in and you've got to work on those plays. But at the same point, I wouldn't expect to see us rolling out the entire playbook.
If you got 100, let's call it 100% of your playbook, let's say they'll roll out a third of it.
I would agree with that, yeah. Definitely less than half.
And it's going to be some of your staples, like a swing pass to Kenneth Dixon. Shocker that that's in the playbook. He catches the football out of the backfield probably better than any other running back in the country.
How good has he looked early this fall?
He's bigger. Maybe he's not bigger. He's leaner.
I think he's leaner.
He's faster. He's much faster than he was last year. And Kenneth was not a burner last year. I wouldn't call him a burner now, but he's got good speed now. He had average speed last season, but he has good speed now. The other position that we talked about, running back, to me, that may be the deepest position on the offense.
There's no question.
Jared Kraft has looked like a completely different player this fall.
He is fast. He can get it.
Maybe he was a little tentative last fall because he didn't know exactly what was going on. He gets it now. That is for sure. Behind him, Blake Martin, who
I don't think you miss a beat with all three of those.
With Boston Scott, you don't miss a whole lot at number four. And then Jacquees Dancy, who I just got finished talking about, he's your fifth. That's some talented running backs. Yeah, Boston Scott's a walk-on. Yeah, Blake Martin's a former walk-on, but it doesn't mean anything. Running back, and the NFL's proved this, you can find running back talent anywhere. You got lots of late-round draft picks in the NFL playing running back. And that's the one concern I've got for Kenneth going forward with the draft, is it's not as good as he is. He's going to get drafted pretty high. But you may not want to if you're a running back. Maybe you do. It's kind of a
two. You definitely want to get drafted.
It's a two-edged sword because they have more invested in you, so they're more apt to keep you. But heck, wasn't Trent Richardson released by Oakland this week?
Yeah, that was his third team in 3 years. He's been in the league 3 years.
Number three overall draft pick. It's crazy. Absolutely crazy. That's why they call the NFL not for long. You got to make hay while the sun shines, as some old folks say.
Speaking of just a local deal, Louisiana Tech alumni
Josh
Kobe, new team.
I was talking to somebody Friday night, and he goes, he's a Tech fan, and he said, you know, I wonder if Scobie's about to get released, and I said, or traded. I said, really, why? Well, the Jaguars have a rookie kicker that is doing really well, and he will be due 10% of what Scobie's due.
It is 100% business in the NFL.
It's crazy also at how kickers are – they're kickers. They're not the quarterback. They're not the most well-known player on the team. But Jacksonville fans loved Josh Kobe. This has got to be a tough move for he and his family.
Tough move for his golf game.
He's going to Pittsburgh. We never said where he was going.
Yeah.
He's going to be another Louisiana Tech Bulldog at the Steelers.
Yeah, and he's also he's getting to go – play for one of the better run organizations in football.
Yeah, there's a reason that they're always
one of
the favorites in the
AFC. You
know,
you got to think a Terry Bradshaw would probably reach out to Scobie or vice versa, just to give him a heads up and let him know what he's getting into. So it's got to be some excitement, but it's got to be bittersweet for the Scobie family, spending 10 years now in Jacksonville, and now he's moving on to Steel City.
It's one of those things where you think about it logistically, especially we're both married men, and you think about our families. You think Scobie's wife's going to want to stay in Pittsburgh all winter? She was staying in Jacksonville previously.
Yeah, but they won't. You know, most of these athletes have homes elsewhere.
Yeah.
You know, you've got several that live at Squire Creek and Kyle and Andrew. So they don't. They don't always stay all year.
They're in and out.
Yeah, they go where the wives are happy in the summer, that's for sure.
But in the winter, she won't be happy in Pittsburgh. That's for sure.
If they win enough ball games, she will.
They're playing for that Lombardi at the end of the year.
She'll be all right.
Yeah. And 10 years in the league. Now, Josh is a kicker, so they, as long as they're making kicks, they're going to play for just about how long they want. But at 10 years... he's vested. He's getting the veteran salary when he retires. You know, how much longer does he want to play at this point? How much longer does he have?
10 more years.
Yeah, he could. Yeah.
Very well could. Similar to another Tech kicker like Baltimore Ravens. What was his name? Stover.
Stover. Matt Stover.
Stover played a long time. Random stat, I've been told that Stover has the best outdoor kicking field goal percentage in the history of the NFL.
Yep.
Random statistic brought to you by Jay Ford at BleedTechBlue.com. I think we went through all the sponsors. I think we'll mention another one since we got another. I'll just read through all of them. Thanks to the 26 local State Farm agents for sponsoring Bleed Tech Blue, along with Brister's Smokehouse, National Jewelry, Pierce Service Company, Brennan Dodge, Dairy Queen, and Gary Stokely, Keller Williams Realty. Like I always say, wouldn't happen if it weren't for those guys. Appreciate it. This is Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7. We'll be back right after this with some predictions of Southern Louisiana Tech Saturday. And it don't matter who you are. If I'm doing my job, it's yours. We'll be right back. Welcome back for the final segment of Bleed Tech Blue Radio and ESPN Radio 97.7. Chris, second episode of Season 8.
Did you ever think you'd be doing it 8 years?
Absolutely not.
Yeah. You are the go-to guy, though. You know it.
If you say so.
Yeah, you're good.
Thanks.
8 years. That's impressive. That is impressive.
They've kept me on the radio waves for 8 years. I think that says a little something.
Yeah.
They haven't run me off yet.
Well, these sponsors keep coming back. Must be good. You signed me up.
Look at there. I would imagine that National Jewelry and Fairway Carts have probably been with us since day one. Fairway Carts of Minden. So that's, I guess that shows something. John's over here fist bumping to the fight song. He's ready for Saturday.
How does it not get you fired up, though?
It's a good fight song.
It's the greatest fight song in the history of mankind.
I like the singing portion. We were talking about that for y'all's ad. I like the singing portion of that clip.
How good does it sound when the players win a game and then they sing the fight song?
I like when they do the remix.
I love those videos.
They're good stuff. And Skip, that's a tradition that I think it started with Dykes, actually, and it carried over to Skip.
It did. It started with Dykes, and Skip has carried it on, which I'm glad he has.
So we're talking about predictions. You mentioned something about a block field goal or block extra point. That's something we didn't talk about. That's something that Southern's really good at, is special teams. Got a good punter and kicker, same player. That's nice on a college football team when you only have to devote one scholarship to a kicker and a punter.
That and just the mentality of the coaches to be able to send them out there and they know that they're going to get 3 points, or they know that they're going to kick a good punt and flip the field position. It makes some of those fourth down calls so much easier. You know, you can take the guaranteed 3 points.
And then Willie Quinn, Les East was talking about him. He's like Philip Livas. He is Philip Livas at Southern. He is a dynamite player. Skip called him one of the best kicker turners, FBS or FCS included. But he is slight in stature. 5'6", 175 is what they have him listed at. And what does that normally mean?
He's smaller.
Probably 5'5", 165. So he's lightning in a bottle, and that's a concern if you're Louisiana Tech.
Yeah, and as a fan, you would love to have somebody on every team that you're a fan of, because it's just fun. I'm, you know, having the days of Livas back there, you never knew when that big play was going to change the momentum of a game, and it can alter the course of a game. You may have a big offensive drive kick off, and then the next thing you know, there's 7 points, and your offense is right back out on the field. It can flip the momentum of games.
We have a few minutes left in this episode. Give us a call, 888-993-7762, the Fairway Carts of Minden hotline. Call or text, actually. I haven't had the text window open. That's my bad all show. Here we are.
I did get a text. One of our fine sponsors at Dairy Queen, Mr. Quarles, questioned why I was not at the Northwestern State game last year. And I will tell you, it was upsetting that I wasn't there. But the day of the game, my son, my 5-year-old at the time, was running 104, almost 105 degree fever. So we spent most of that evening at Northern Louisiana Medical Center in the emergency room. And he did have the flu.
That's an unfortunate place to be on a game day. You little prediction time. We'll let you start. You're the guest, and we're going to let you start.
Prediction.
Of course, reasoning.
Yeah, no, prediction. I believe that, the Bulldogs come out. They're fired up, and I believe that we're clicking on most cylinders. We're able to put some points on the board early, maybe create a turnover or two. Definitely have some three and outs, some stops, flipping the field position. I gotta hope we score, four scores in the first half. Maybe open up a 20-point halftime lead, and then kind of cruise on in the second half. 45-13, somewhere in there. A 30-point win would be great for me. I would love to see anything north of 30 points. Anything south of that, maybe some question marks.
I am Jason Jones has taught me well. I lean heavily on our friends at Massey. At 49-9, I'll go 48-7. And maybe even that 7
early
comes,
score or late score?
Late score.
Late score.
I think this defense has the potential to be very special for Tech.
I'm really hoping we do get those early touchdowns, early scores, and then that latter half of the game we can get some experience for these younger players.
And it would be an invaluable game experience. You don't want to go through an entire season, and you're not gonna burn somebody's red shirt and not play them. That doesn't happen. You don't redshirt somebody just for the heck of it. So, but you want to get guys that you're not going to redshirt and players that haven't played experience as quickly as possible. It's different when you're hitting your own teammates versus hitting somebody else that you don't have to go back and see in the locker room.
I want to see Driscoll come out, get some confidence. You know, I want him to build this whole entire season. I think he's going to have the opportunity to open up the playbook and do some things that he was not able to do at his former school in Florida. But I also want to see him come out and see that he's mentally prepared and mentally ready to take the stage and be the leader on the team that I think he can be and he's expected to be. You know, you're going to get the leadership with Dixon and then some of the other players, but I want to see Driscoll take command and build some confidence.
John, we're not going to forget you. What's your prediction?
I'm right there with you. I was thinking 48-10, somewhere in that mid-30s range as far as a spread. I do think Southern will find a way to get a touchdown somewhere late, whether it's a defensive touchdown or a special team, some kind of fluky play.
You know, I kind of like I could see 3 points early and 7 points late.
Yeah, field goal early, going back on there. Do have a pretty consistent kicker. But I expect a pretty thorough whitewashing. I think Tech will come out to prove that, hey, we are worthy of the accolades. And I do believe the Northwestern game from last year will sit in the back of their mind.
Oh, there's no doubt they haven't forgotten about it. I mean, Driscoll even talked about it yesterday in the press conference that he knows his teammates haven't forgotten about the Northwestern State game. So that's big time. You can't forget about those kind of disappointments. And those will haunt some of those guys probably for many years to come. Chris, really appreciate you coming in, joining us.
It's been great. Thanks for inviting me.
Next week, no show. Skip Holtz, Inside Bulldog Football will be on Tuesday because of the Labor Day holiday, but we will have a podcast-only episode of Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Jason's going to join me. He's going to be joining me in 2 weeks as well. He's back with us, but we really appreciate Rafe Sims last week joining us as a guest co-host, and Chris Brister this week being able to come in and help us with the show. It's tough doing it by yourself, so I'm glad I didn't have to try. I can't imagine. It kind of actually scares me just a little bit. But for John Tabor, always good on the ones and the twos. For Chris Brister, I am Jonathan Ford, publisher of BleedTechBlue.com and host of Bleed Tech Blue Radio. We'll be back in 2 weeks here at 6, from 6 to 7:30 on ESPN Radio 97.7.
Listen for Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by Trenton Interiors, every Tuesday, 6 to 7:30 p.m. Go deep inside Tech football, basketball, and recruiting with your host, Jonathan Ford. Our show is also brought to you by your 26 area local State Farm agents, Brister's Smokehouse, National Jewelry, Pierce Service Company, Brennan Dodge, Dairy Queen, and Gary Stokely, Keller Williams Realty, as well as your hotline sponsor, Fairway Cards. Thanks for listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN 97.7.